Welcome to the Forum on your Tally Broadcasting Stations. I'm David Jenkins. April is National Autism Awareness Month, and to help explain more about autism, I recently spoke with Lynn Sellers and Kim Draper of the local organization, the Autism Support Connection, or TASC. A couple of weeks ago, you heard part of the interview, and this week you will hear a recap of what we talked about last time, as well as some new parts that didn't make it into the last program. Today, I am pleased to be joined by Lynn Sellers and Kim Draper, who are co-founders of the Autism Support Connection, or TASC, as it is commonly known as throughout the listening area. Thank you two so much for joining me today, and we're going to be talking about something great in the month of April, autism awareness, because it affects so many people, probably worldwide, but I know this area affects a lot of people in this area particularly. First of all, thank you two for joining me again.
Thank you.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background with TASC first before we get into what you've got going on in the month of April?
We started our group in 2011. Lynn contacted the Eisentrout family of the Orpheum in Hillsboro and started sensory-friendly movies. And that same year in September, we had our first support group meeting at the Hillsboro Free Methodist Church. And we've been going strong ever since. We just really felt there was a need in this area. Lynn and I had attended some groups in Springfield, but they didn't provide childcare. So we would have to find a sitter, drive an hour, attend an hour or two, drive an hour back home. The same thing with the movies. They show those in Springfield monthly through the AMC theaters. Mm-hmm. But again, for our kids on the autism spectrum, it is a very difficult thing to sit in a car, sit for a couple of hours, sit in a car coming home. So we said, why not? People had even made comments and approached us about starting something in this area because there just wasn't anything close. But we're not exclusive to Montgomery County. We have several families that come from Fayette County, Macoupin County, Christian County, from all over. But we've been going strong since 2011.
That's right. And it started in 2011 because of the fact, just as Kim touched on, there weren't any resources for us because personally we both have sons that are on the spectrum and we were desperately seeking support and resources and we had to travel either to the St. Louis area or to Springfield area to find any of that. So that was when we just all of a sudden thought, hey, let's see what we can do.
I imagine a lot of people know of autism or at least have heard about it, but maybe could you tell a little bit about what it is specifically for those who don't have a great understanding of what it is?
Sure. They look at it as a neurological behavior disorder. It's not classified as a mental disorder like you would have, you know, schizophrenia, depression, bipolar, but the people on the autism spectrum have a brain that just maybe the firing of the neurons don't connect like a typical brain does. And so the way that they look at things is very different from the rest of us. Often there's communication disorders. I have my youngest son was nonverbal until about 3.5 years old, but my oldest son was more verbal. And social issues can occur with autism where they have a difficulty with relationships. They don't pick up on social cues like you and I might. They can also have sensory issues. Lynn and I were just talking about that. My youngest son, sorry, Owen, to pick on you, but he's 14 now and he's come such a long way. But sensory issues for him when he was little, he wouldn't put his feet down barefoot or in shoes on wet surfaces or snow. We had a whole season of carrying him. Tags in clothing. Smells were a huge thing, and he's come a long way with that. Still has a pretty sensitive smeller, but he's not as offended by smells as what he used to be. But everyone is very different, and having two children in the household, what might be an issue for one is not for the other, or they both, you know, had issues with some communication. And our group is really the one thing that I didn't anticipate, and I just wasn't thinking ahead, is that our boys have formed friendships mm-hmm. as a result of this. I was thinking, you know, we're providing a support group and information and in a listening shoulder for families, and maybe just for families to even, you know, come and you know, cry on a shoulder or whatever they needed. We have guest speakers that come to our group meetings. But what I didn't realize is that throughout these 7 years, my boys have formed very strong bonds with these other families and other kids, and they love their friends, and they look forward to seeing them at our monthly movie and our April activities that we have set up. And it's just been really, really neat, and that has just helped them tremendously.
I was just going to add on to that. That's exactly some of the things she highlighted was it is called a spectrum disorder because there's no two kids are alike. Mm-hmm. They have similar issues, but they're not, it's not cookie cutter. It's not a cookie cutter disorder. It affects each child. And I will say that it affects nearly five times more boys than it does girls. Okay. And it's still unknown. There's no specific cause that they found, but research continues, and the numbers continue to grow. When my son, he's 14 now, but when he was diagnosed at the age of 3, the rate was 1 in 150 kids. Now it's 1 in 68 kids that are diagnosed. So just continues to climb. So it is an issue that's not going away, and we're now beginning to see more and more adults on the spectrum or young people who are now moving into their adulthood and, you know, looking for their place in the world. And our kids and young adults really have a lot to provide. Sure. They really do.
Do you think, as far as the rates are concerned, maybe some of that has to do with maybe the advancements in technology and being able to accurately diagnose things now?
Absolutely.
As opposed to years ago?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
I look back at, you know, my growing up, and I can think of kids, you know, in school and now look at it and think, oh, I bet that is autism, but we just didn't know back then.
Right.
And it's so, you know, on the magazine stands, if you're standing in line and you see, you know, Oprah Winfrey talking about it, or Jenny McCarthy, or, you know, famous people that have children of their own, you know, it's people are becoming more aware of autism. Mm-hmm. And I think we're getting more accurate diagnosis and better
Definitely.
Services now. It's just people are more aware of it.
Yeah, because I know you hear, you know, a lot more people have autism today than they did years ago. Well, that may not necessarily be true. People just didn't know
right.
about it.
Right. Or they chalked it up to an individual being, eccentric.
Quirky, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, but now through diagnostics and more research and study, they can more accurately diagnose at much earlier ages.
Do you feel sometimes you battle a stigma with it, like you're battling a stigma? Maybe people have a negative perception of it when they really shouldn't.
I think when my boys were younger, Owen especially, again, sorry, Owen,
did he's a rock star now.
He is a rock star. He's famous now on WSMI.
Right.
Because of his sensory issues, being in public was a very difficult thing. And mm-hmm. thus, I kind of felt like Owen and I live an isolated life at home because Jack was easier to take out into public. But because of the sensory issues he had, it would draw a lot of negative attention our way. People giving us looks, you know, why is he not crying? Or why haven't you stopped him from crying? Or why is he running up and down the fence line, flicking his fingers? Well, he likes parallel lines, and he likes railroad tracks, and he likes curbs, and he likes anything that defines with a boundary. So, but I think because we have stayed in this community and we're growing up in the community, and we have a very supportive school system, teachers, teachers' aides, administrators, our group, I think, has helped make our kids' needs and all of their quirks, we're more aware of them. I think we're getting more acceptance, and they just know them as Jack and Owen, not mm-hmm. as Owen and Jack with autism
yeah.
or the autistic kids. So I hope our group is doing that for autism.
That's been our wish and our hope, our mission as a group. was to just raise awareness and education, try to bring together resources that families could access, but also something that we saw within our own lives is that it's really hard on the family as a whole unit. And TASC really is about helping the family. The activities that we plan are not just movies and swimming events or bowling events. They're just for that sake. They're activities that the whole family can participate in. When doing a little bit of studying, realized that the divorce rate among couples in the United States is about 40 to 50%. Mm-hmm. But among families that are affected by autism, because of one parent taking care of the neurotypical children and one parent staying home with the child on the spectrum, there's a 80 to 85% divorce rate. Mm. And so our idea was to bring families together to be able to do things together. And then all of the family can forge friendships and feel supported. And I think we've made a dent in that.
Sure.
I think I think that's been echoed to us throughout the years, and we're very grateful that we've had support financially and the fundraisers, et cetera, that have helped us be able to provide these events and movies free so that the families didn't have to be concerned about admission prices, or that they could just come and for 2 hours once a month could just do something fun.
Lynn Sellers, Kim Draper, co-founders of the Autism Support Connection. I assume the reception has been great for you guys around the support from around the area.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so.
Very much so.
Yeah. We've had people who anonymously want to donate financially, or they want to come and help at meetings. They're spreading the word. Our community has been very supportive. So yeah, we've just been very, very pleased that since 2011, it just feels like we're growing and we're becoming more aware of autism and the blessings that autism can bring to our lives and to our community.
And through, I might just add this, through a grant that we received last year through the 708 board, which comes through the taxpayers of Montgomery County, yeah, we were able to add some things to what we can do. We've been able to add assistance with transportation for families that have to travel all the way to Chicago or Champaign or St. Louis for therapy for their child or diagnostics for their children. And among other things, we also have an initiative that we're starting this year that will provide safety kits for families, as well as work with first responders. At least that's our hope.
Right.
We are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we do appreciate the taxpayers helping us out.
Sure. Lynn Sellers, Kim Draper, co-founders of the Autism Support Connection. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me today. Was there anything else you wanted to mention about TASC or about autism awareness?
I think we've covered it.
Yeah. A lot of information.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
No problem. Good luck with everything moving forward.
Thanks.
Again, that is Lynn Sellers and Kim Draper with the Autism Support Connection. And that's it for this edition of The Forum. I'm David Jenkins. Tune in next time, but until then, so long.